Welcome to Merkaba Chakras, where we talk Buddhism in the fifth dimension. A Buddha is someone who's awake within the matrix and co-creating with divinity as a soul having a human experience. Each enlightened episode is dedicated to help you level up the energy field of your Merkaba. You can manifest the parallel reality that fits the best version of you. This podcast is for entertainment purposes and does not necessarily reflect the views of the host or replace any medical or legal advice. Now, let's welcome your host, author Vaughn Galt, and her guest.
Welcome to another podcast episode of Merkaba Chakras. I'm your host, Vaughn Galt, and today we are going to explore pranic consciousness, sound healing, and the new DNA upgrades with author Christiana Altrayan. Now, Christiana, welcome to Merkaba Chakras.
Thank you for having me. I love to work with chakras and Merkabas, and I love to be here with you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so you've just gone through a series of festivals and retreat circuits. So before we talk about your work and the fascinating festivals and retreats you do all over Romania and Europe and all over the world, let's get started with trying to find out, how did you even get into this work in the first place? Can you rewind to the very beginning for us?
The beginning was before my birth. I had many lifetimes working with energy. I came back into this lifetime knowing that we're all energy and that everything is energy. And I was saying that to my kids in school, to my colleagues' kids in school. And I became very early in my life interested in everything like crystal therapy and meditation. I was meditating in a crystal. I was interested in numerology. I was interested in zodiac signs, in everything that was about energy and, you know, how the soul travels between lifetimes and when it exits the body, where does it go? All that was interesting for me as a child, right? Well, that's what I was interested in. I became vegetarian when I was 17 because intuitively I perceived that other beings should not be our food. We shouldn't eat like the other beings that came to experience planet Earth alongside with us. That was my insight in that time. And you know, for all my childhood, adolescence, and the early youth years, I was like this. And then for 10 years, I forgot. I became a manager, and I started working in sales and management and working with people in various top management functions. And I forgot about energy practice, about meditation, about all that I was interested before. It was, you know, the training in being human, I call it like this. Mm-hmm. And because my life was very imbalanced, I was working too much. I was working 16 hours a day, having many, many people in my team and many responsibilities. I got imbalanced and I started looking into energy work again because the doctors in the hospitals was giving me no solutions. So I again started meditating when I was 28. I was joining meditation groups. I was practicing by myself, going to classes to learn energy work because that felt to be my solution to get back in balance and to also progress. I felt this thirst of progressing on this energy work path for myself, you know, to evolve, to expand my consciousness, because my life as a wife and manager and person with general human responsibilities was not fulfilling for me, was not satisfaction, giving me any satisfaction at all. I was preparing to leave my body completely.
Okay. So you said a couple of things that I really want to kind of dive a little bit deeper into so people can understand this, because there's a lot of people like myself who are very, very naturally attracted to metaphysics, energy healing, you know, high frequency, all the above type higher consciousness work growing up. But you said some things that that, you know, I'm curious about. So you said when you were little, you already knew your past lives. You already knew different lifetimes. What were some of the early recollections of different lifetimes you've had prior to your earthly incarnation when you were a child?
Ah, that's a great question. I must confess that I didn't know this as a child. No, I just knew that we're all energy. That's what I said. But I had the intuition that all our energy and that everything is energy. And that was coming from my previous other lifetimes trainings, right? But I wasn't aware of my other lifetimes until later on when I saw lifetimes of mine as various. Actually, I don't consider them past because they're happening now.
Right.
In parallel. So now I'm a ray of light streaming from the sun. Now I'm in the archangel realm. Now I'm in the ascended master realm. Now I am various incarnations and trying to bring spiritual knowledge into the world. And now I'm a blonde girl in front of you talking to you as Christiana El Trayan.
Right.
And everything is now. Right.
Right, right. So I just wanted to clarify for people again, because it's a Buddhism podcast. So I always kind of like to clarify when I bring in new subject matter experts. So the concept of time is now, because consciousness doesn't have any linearity, no past, no present, no future. It's always in the present now. So consciousness is always in the present now. And when you see that all of time is in the present moment at any moment, it's in the present moment. And if you see it all is happening in the same kind of like bubble of consciousness, then depending on your consciousness, you can look at your past, you can look at your future, you can look at your parallel timeline, you can look at the different realms and dimensions. It's all happening at the same exact moment. It's just a matter of when you want, where you want to focus your current attention on. And so for people who's like, how is it all present? How is it all now? The concept of parallel realities come into play, because all realities, whether it's dimensions, realms, past, future, in between lives, all realities of existence happen at the current moment, because consciousness is present in all of it, and consciousness is not limited by time. Time is a construct by humans to measure where we came from, where we're going, and what we want to do. It's a tool of consciousness to measure, kind of engage your next best experience you want to create for yourself. That's the purpose of time. And so when we're talking about all of these different things, it's all parallel realities, because it's all parallel at the current moment. So I just want to clarify that for people, because they're like, well, how can you already be an ascended master in a parallel? How can you already be in the angelic realms? How can you already be incarnated in a different planet or a different universe or dimension? Yeah. So
galactic systems. Exactly, yes.
Right. So since you have recall, or like you knew this, but you didn't know the details early on when you were young, and then as you got older and you got back into work, then you started having life reviews of current existences. What is your soul doing in, let's say, the angelic realm? What kind of work is it doing now?
Well, the beauty of the angelic realm is that nothing feels like work. Mm-hmm. You just are. And in that state of being, you just follow basically source guidance. So it's a total different state than the human state that we talk about doing stuff and working. It's still the flow, you know, and you can be in multiple you know, we imagine angels as being one being. We even give them shapes, you know, we imagine them as being shapes, you know, like shape with the wings and everything. Right. Well, actually, they're like streams of consciousness, right? So that stream of consciousness operates simultaneously in various planetary systems, in various realms of existence, in various levels, right? So it's not just like you going to a job or us doing an interview here now. It's like streaming all kinds of energy, rays, if you will, for different realms, for different whatever is needed, basically.
Right. So your soul consciousness in the angelic realm is sending love energy to different realms. Is that what is doing right now?
We could say that, and also taking care of various other situations.
right. And what is the ascended master version of you in that existence doing right now?
I was going to tell you about this because I feel you're connected to that stream. So the Ascended Masters also, they are basically the expression of a stream of consciousness, right? And they're embodying it in their 5D aspect, but also they have taken, over lifetimes, they have taken a 3D aspect at a certain point, they have incarnated and then decided to ascend back again, right? Mm-hmm. So some of them are like this, and some of them have never taken a physical body, but they have taken apparitions, or streams of in the physical plane. So what I'm an aspect of the ray of compassion, the feminine ray of compassion. People call it here like Kuan Yin or Mother Mary or Tara, or there's various aspects of goddesses of compassion here in the known here in the earth plane, right? That we have tuned into. We could say that I'm the stream of that current or energy of compassion or unconditional love that has taken several imageries to present itself to people in various timelines here to help people be aware that the compassion is the key, compassion is the main solution for humanity to survive and to thrive on this planet. So basically, we need now to move our attention, if you will, from the work mode and competition mode and the fight mode that we had on this planet for thousands of years. We need to move into the collaboration, cooperation, and mutual love and respect and compassion for each other's choices, right? That's right. The solution for humanity to maintain their bodies and their planet here now in this moment. So we're helping with that. We're helping to humanity understand or open up to that stream of compassion. It's constant work. On Earth, I'm teaching a Qigong method that's called the Qigong of Compassion or the Kuan Yin Qigong, that is not so well known, but very, very gentle and very, very feminine and very, very fluid. You can find it on my YouTube, Christiana El Trayan. And that's opening up so easily when you practice it at least a few times per week. It's opening you up so easily to the stream of compassion, like it's completely effortless, even for people who have been fighters or, you know, criminals. You know, I have friends who or acquaintances who have done, you know, criminal work before in some way or another, but always compassion can open the heart, you know, with several practices, you can get from that state of fight and competition into love and collaboration and understand all people's point of view as if you would feel it into yourself, into your heart, right? As if you would live it yourself. And Kuan Yin, has that frequency because she's basically able to relate or to be empathic to any other being's state, right? So you can instantly know what another is feeling.
Right.
Or going. So that way you're instantly compassionate towards that being, no matter how crazy they behave.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, you've touched on different levels of consciousness. In short, you guys, Basically, it's raising your level of consciousness. And when you have a higher consciousness, you are not going to be belittling people, looking down on them, being mean, all the different ways in which we are mean and cruel to each other. A higher consciousness being does not do that, and they recognize the oneness in everyone else. And it's not just a matter of speaking that we are all interconnected, but when we have our life reviews, and you don't have to die to have your life review. You can do it through meditation. You could do it through hypnosis. There's a lot of different ways in which you can connect to that stream of higher consciousness. And when you do that, you no longer have an ego identity. You are connected to everything and everyone, and you are connected to source. And you actually see and feel directly as the recipient what you do and say and feel and think about other people. You feel your own cruelty, and you also feel your own love that you send out and emit as part of who you choose to respect outward. So it's not just a matter of speaking. It is scientific truth that we are all interconnected, and we are feeling each other's sorrows, and we're feeling each other's triumphs as well, and joy. So when you have those life reviews, you get to choose what emotions and what life lessons you want to feel in those reviews. And if you want to continue to see separatism and cruelty, then you will feel that, because that is what you create. And that's simple Buddhism, basics 101, which we keep going back to over and over again as with humanity. But that's a life lesson too, to accept people's journey.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. How do you do this life review? How do you tap into it? I'm curious to know, because you seem to like know a lot about it.
It's really a simple formula. You basically, your brain cannot think two things at the same time. You physically cannot do two things at the same time, period. They've already proven this. So all you have to do is a quick five second exercise. Focus on what you're thinking of. And when you focus on what you're thinking of, your brain completely shuts off and you can't have any thoughts of anything else. And the minute you have that emptiness feeling where you're looking and you're thinking about what you're thinking about, you actually can see yourself absolutely not thinking about anything. You don't even recognize your identity or anything. Your thought about your chores and whatever, it's not happening. It's completely blank. When you get into that state, that is basically the higher level of state of consciousness. And then at that point, you can focus on what you want to create or manifest. So if you're doing energy healing, you can focus on the wellness and the outcome of the energy healing to the person or to yourself. And that will happen. You can try the exercise on pets, and it's really fun because the pets come back up. You can do that simple exercise to focus on an outcome that you're working on. Let's say you're working on an interview, to succeed on the interview. You can do that. So there's a lot of different things, but you just focus on the outcome, and source will make it happen. Now, there is a caveat. You have to respect people's life lessons, yes, that they've chosen for themselves. So if their pre-life plan is to have some kind of accident, it will still happen regardless of how much energy healing or higher consciousness meditation that you do to project for them a better outcome. So that's the only caveat with it, which is hard for people to understand.
Yes, and the life path of others, absolutely. In any energy practice, that's the essential point, absolutely.
Yeah,
I totally agree.
So but there is a lot of different modalities, because not everybody subscribes or is going to really gravitate to one modality of connecting to consciousness and energy healing. So I present a lot of different ones in my podcast as we are presenting Christiana's work. But what I do is a 5-second process, and it works very, very easily, and it's an easy way to do it. But there are many others. And so, I present that for people to go through. Now, what you were saying also is you were saying that when you were going, before you got into this work, you were talking to doctors and none of them were offering you any kind of solutions. What kind of symptoms or illnesses were you going to doctors for that you couldn't get modern medicine to address?
Yes, I was basically leaving my body. Now I know that I was leaving my body because I was bored of, what I was doing and how my life was. But before I didn't know what it was, so we called that fainting. So I was basically like fainting all the day. But actually, I wasn't fainting. I was consciously living my body in some way. I was telling people, look, don't worry, I will come back. Even though I was half fainted, but I was still telling them to not worry because I'm coming back. So I was blacking out for a while and everybody was seeing me white and sweating and, you know, being different. And then I would come back in and just go through the day. But it happened a few times over 3 years distance. And at the certain point, and they were taking me to the hospital, and in the hospital, they were doing tests and stuff, and nothing was wrong in the tests. So eventually we got to do energy work and see, you know, what else can be in my energy field that makes me do that. And I stabilized back into, like, basically I needed to be happier and more balanced in order to want to stay in my physical vessel. And I also needed to purify my physical vessel a lot, to detoxify it and to align it, because there was a higher energy wanting to come in, the higher aspect of me wanted to come in, but I had no space because in my body was too much toxins and too much agitation, right?
Right. So
it couldn't get all in. So that's why it was necessary over the years, as to continue my journey, it was necessary to do a lot of detox. I started doing detox. I started doing energy work. I became vegan when I, at about 3 years after starting my energy practice, I became fully vegan because I did a full year of detox. And after that, I couldn't eat animal products. My body wouldn't tolerate that frequency anymore. I went into a dark room for 10 days with no light, no food, and just meditation to calibrate. And I've noticed in that dark room, after I came out, I noticed that, you know, my life didn't make any sense to me. So I changed my whole life. I quit my company. I quit my city. I quit my apartment. I went into a different city at 30 years old, and I started my work now. So I written my first book, had my first conferences, and started doing energy healings, which I was refusing to do before. So I just came out a totally different person, which was what my higher self wanted me to, you know, what I was supposed to be. I finally aligned with what I was supposed to stream into this world. But it took a lot of work and detox. And that's why now I'm helping other people to do that, to raise their frequency, is first in their physical body, which needs to be fine-tuned in order to have a higher frequency, in order to hold more energy of what you are. And secondly, of course, at the energy level and spiritual level, we do a lot of detox emotionally and mentally.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Christiana, that's awesome. So let me ask you this. What is pranic consciousness? Because that is what you are teaching. So can you explain what pranic consciousness is for everybody?
You touched on it a little bit already. Is the consciousness of unity, the consciousness that we are one with all and that everything is connected with us. And that's not just a spiritual or holistic concept. We're actually having it backed up by physics now and by science. There's a large group of scientists now studying consciousness and basically the consciousness of unity. There's the Resonance Science Foundation of Nassim Harmim work, proving scientifically with physics formula that everything is connected and everything is one. If you haven't seen how, just watch the documentary, The Connected Universe, and it's gonna tell you how everything is one in the scientific perspective, in physics formulas. I can tell you that in holistic perspective, when you feel feelings that you don't know where they come from, they all of a sudden you become sad or happy or very present or very disconnected, that might be the emotions or thoughts or feelings of others. When you have a son or a daughter and you're acutely aware of their stuff that they're going through, that's because you're connected to them, and that's because you're being empathic or open to their emotions and feelings. And normally people feel that with the dear ones or the close ones or brothers, if they're twins, they have that, or, you know, lovers between them, if they're truly connected and they share love. Well, that happens to normal people, but when you're more open and your chakras are open and your energy system is expanded, you can feel that about the whole planet or many planetary systems or galaxies or multiverses. You can feel at a very a vast level that we're all one, right? And from that perspective, that comes with love as well. it's also a feeling of love. And from that perspective, you cannot actually harm another being or another system. Everything you do is going to be for the benefits of yourself and others. So that's consciousness of unity in short. But my work specifically is, you know, it's going in a deeper layers of it and helping people connect with their bodies, helping people connect with their higher self, helping people connect in their relationships in a deeper way so that they're aware why things are happening the way they are happening in their relationships, you know, with a dear one, with their family, with their kids. Everything has an explanation at a deeper level. It's not just that everybody else is like not okay.
right. Everybody's going through
their connections in a way that they can encompass and integrate what's happening in their lives and then forgive, forget, let go, and embrace all the people around them.
Right. Which sounds so simple and easy, but many people struggle to be these higher levels of consciousness. So you guys, just to kind of relate this understanding, basically all consciousness is the same thing. It's higher consciousness. It's the light. It's the light. It's what many religions would call God, Allah, Source, Universe. It's the light. And in Buddhism, the light, another word for this higher consciousness, which is all one, we're just choosing to see levels because this is how humans understand things. But all of it is all one connected. The 3D consciousness, 4D consciousness, 10D infinite consciousness, all the way up. It's all one holistic consciousness. But basically, it's like the crystalline consciousness or the Christ consciousness. Christ is another word in Buddhism for light. So it is the consciousness of Source. And when you connect to that higher consciousness at the higher levels, all the way up to infinity, that's why they call it unity consciousness, because it's all connected, and you in these higher frequencies of being, you literally are empathic, and you feel and see and know your connection to everything and everyone, which can be really hard for some people to understand or to live with. So because they don't necessarily want to constantly be feeling other people's sadness and sorrows. So how can people who are in these higher frequencies cope with feeling other people's sadness and sorrows? Because a lot of people, that's their constant energy.
That's a fabulous question, and it's exactly what I've written this morning. I'm writing a new book. I'm writing my 6th, 7th, and 8th book, 3 at a time. And this
it's I'm parallel. Always one at a time.
It's parallel because it's different themes. You know, I'm writing the book of love, which is streamed from the Christed consciousness. I'm writing the second edition of the Pranic World book. So that was the first edition, and then it follows the next one. But this specific book that I'm referring to now is called The Goddess Speaks. It's a series of channeled messages from Divine Feminine. And each day I draw a card from a card deck with the Divine Feminine. And I write the channel message for that card. So today I drew Kuan Yin, coincidence. And that was the exact subject she was referring to. the exact subject of, you know, perceiving the suffering of others is just a way of also evolving spiritually yourself, because she says my curiosity generates more compassion. Basically, when you're connected and perceiving what others are feeling, be it sadness, joy, whatever it is, you are richer in your experience, you're richer in your expansion, you expand with that. it's only the mind that perceives it as bad or heavy or, oh, it's, you know, the person is suffering. But when you're looking from a higher consciousness, even the heavy feelings of others, they're just a process of transformation and evolution. Mm-hmm. And when you're perceiving that within yourself, you're able to basically know or sense or feel how you're no longer just living an individualized experience of be it joy or happiness or relaxation or fun or sorrow, whatever you choose. You're living a collective experience. So you're rich with the richness of consciousness of all the other beings.
Right,
you know? Right. It's not a bad thing. So the card is this one. I was looking for it. Mm-hmm. I'll put it in the camera just to see it. But I'll post it on my Instagram tonight with the whole downloaded text. And the line in the card is, I get to know the suffering just to free myself. My curiosity generates more compassion.
Right.
Onion answers to this. So the question was right on because it's the theme of the day for me.
Yeah. So the ladies are definitely coming forward. So I pointed, this is my book cover of Kuan Yin. And below that is that my book cover of Tara on my Buddhist mandala series. But so in the Buddhist tradition, many people are familiar Kuan Yin, Tara, Mother Mary, Miriam Magdala kind of went through the Buddhist schools and training in energy healing, metaphysics, and consciousness, and then continued their work. And we label them now as, you know, Essenes, the Gnostics, the, you know, whatever religious titles we want to put into them, but it's all the same work. It doesn't really fit within any boxes because love doesn't fit into any boxes, and the lessons of love don't fit into any boxes.
Buddha was before the Buddhism. We have to go to the origins or always, and Christ was Buddha was not a Buddhist. Christ was not a Christian.
Yeah, they're just people teaching consciousness.
They were love. They were expressions of the same consciousness of love and compassion, which ultimately generated a trend or a current in the spiritual world, right? Buddha. Mm-hmm. Was generating the Buddhism, so people who followed him basically mm-hmm. created this, and then Christ generated the Christianity. They were all, these currents were coming from the same stream or same essence, which is love and compassion and kindness. They were altered, I might say, along the way by human mind who mm-hmm. did some alteration to its own understanding and perception, you know, whoever mm-hmm. follower wrote these texts or mantras, you know, they put their own consciousness into it. So one way or another. So the best is to follow source, actually.
Yeah.
The source
yeah.
is compassion and kindness, which is streaming through all of them. Krishna, Buddha, Christ, whoever
right.
you want to
be. Right.
Clara, Magdalene, Mary, whoever it is.
Exactly. Let me ask you this because you know, when you break out of the labels and of confining different modalities and ways in which to connect to Christ consciousness of light, you go into basically spirituality, which is everything is spiritual. Everything is a holographic matrix that we are engaging with and creating from. Let me ask you this. There are a lot of beings like you, like myself, like others from higher dimensions and from infinity and source itself who have incarnated into lower realms of existence. To investigate what is this concept of polarity and negativity and darkness and evil, what is, because in the higher realms of consciousness those are illusions to create a mirror so that you can learn the truth from the illusion, from the misconceived perception. So it's just a tool to recognize more love, more of that energy. So can you explain for people of higher frequencies who like yourself have recall of being in higher realms, higher dimensions, coming from source, coming into these lower levels of consciousness, reality, and basically coming in to learn what is this low consciousness about, and why is it so hard for people to recognize the higher levels of being. So can you explain that for others in that boat who they came here to understand the darkness? Like, what is this whole thing about?
Well, I have a perspective that's slightly, it's just slightly different, very slightly different, in terms of I came here to experience joy. I know that joy is available here. You know, here it's basically one of the richest fields of play. You know, certain traditions see it as a realm of suffering and darkness. I see it as a realm of all possibilities, like truly all possibilities. So for example, in higher realms, you cannot experience emotions. There's no such thing. You're mm-hmm. such a high frequency that you don't go there. And there's not available.
Yeah.
It's just not available. I'm just going to take a moment to bring the light closer because I changed my position to leave
sure,
my
sure.
back.
Sure, sure.
Just one second.
Back.
Mm-hmm. So people, especially in certain traditions like Orthodox traditions and Christianity, they see it, oh, we came here to suffer. Some others are saying, we came here to repent. Oh, it's so difficult. We've incarnated here. It's such a shitty land. No, I have a different perspective. Check this out. This is a land of all possibilities. We came here to enjoy and rejoice, and that's also available, even in this physical body, even in this dense structure, even in this messed up world that we think it's messed up because we see it that way, especially now. Even here, you can have joy, love, and compassion. But added to that, because you're already having that in other realms, that's clear. Mm-hmm. Added to that, you can also have physical pleasure, all that touchy-feely stuff that you don't have when you don't have a physical body. You can have the taste, which is so awesome. Like, I'm learning and teaching pranic nourishment, being nourished mm-hmm. by life.
I love food.
In other realms, you can be nourished just by source and not needing food. But taste the mango and enjoy it fully and see how everything vibrates higher in you with no guilt feelings and no like resentments. You cannot do that in other realms. That's only available here. That's why I'm saying it's the realm of all possibilities. Sometimes you can hurt yourselves and feel pain. Yeah, that's also, you know, some people are curious about that and they're experiencing with masochisms and all that crazy stuff, yeah. whatever, because they came here to play. Like everybody came here to play.
Yeah.
I've seen so many ascended, you know, beings that have lived as masters for a long time, you know, and they haven't quite got it that physical plane can be joy. And this last incarnation, they just came back here to experience all the lower levels of the physical plane, mm-hmm. you know, playing the money game, the sex game, the relationship games, whatever. They're high consciousness people, some business people, some really mean people that you can think they're mean. They can be high consciousness people that have come to experience just one last level of the physical plane, just mm-hmm. to be richer in their consciousness. Like the deeper you go, the higher you raise, right? Or the richer you are. So that's my perspective of the physical plane. I forgot the question, probably why are we here or something. Did we take a body? But I think I've answered it along the way.
You have. And
one of them.
right. You definitely have. And I would relate this to Buddhism, the basic lesson, Buddhism 101, the lesson of polarity. Okay. Mm. So really, really quick for a review of those who watch the podcast and to understand, this is how I understand what she's saying. So in the higher realms of existence, the higher dimensions, the higher realms, even in source, there's nothing but light. There's nothing but it sounds cold, hokey. There's nothing but light and love and the higher energies. Because all the lower dense energies can exist in those higher levels. And so if you, for example, if you constantly are being fed or everything constantly works, everything's constantly beautiful, then there is no opposite to mirror back that that greater existence, that greater feeling that you feel. So it will be like you're constantly fed. You have no clue what hunger is. You've never felt hunger. It's just completely foreign to you. This lower energy, this lower experience. But when you go into the lower realms as a higher consciousness being to investigate what is the evil, what is the negativity, what is the whatever, what are these lower level existences?
But no, you, also, what is the pleasure?
Why is the pleasure? So you take all of these and you put it into a higher consciousness being, and now you have a mirror. It makes you realize, almost kind of like you've taken certain things for granted. It makes you realize how much higher existence you felt, how much more love you already felt and experienced because of the dual nature of these lower realities. So basically, it's the understanding of more of who you are through the duality, through seeing the polarity, through seeing the negative reflect back to the positive, what it is. But if you completely remove the negative charge, remove the physicality, then what do you have? You just have higher realms of existence and consciousness, and that's all you know. So when you get the opposite into your experience, then you recognize more of that. The higher love energy,
that greatness.
Exactly. So it's just, so the physicality and all that comes with physicality is a mirror. It just mirrors back so that we can understand these concepts even more, and then go back to the, you know, after this existence, when we go back to the, it reabsorb with our current existence in these higher realms dimensions, or even with source, we take even more of what we had experienced and be like, I experienced the negativity, and now I recognize more of the love and the higher energies. I experienced physicality, and now I recognize more of what it is to be non-physical. So it's just an exercise.
And we add to that the next level of consciousness, which we have, which I've experienced, and many others. You know, in Buddhism and in other traditions, they talk about attaining the rainbow body, right? Rainbow body, which is one of the highest levels here, where you eventually dissolve your body into pure light and leave the physical plane, right? But and this tradition is teaching that the rainbow body can only be attained at the end of your existence.
You could do it now.
Yes, but it entails leaving your body. While we say that you can actually keep your body and be in a rainbow body, in a physical existence. And that's what pranic people are doing. Mm-hmm. They are refining their physical structure to such higher level where they can actually decide to stay here in that high level of consciousness, basically walking Buddhas or walking rainbow bodies. They can dematerialize, rematerialize, shape-shift their body at will, bilocate, teleport, whatever you need, levitate and all that, without leaving their bodies, without needing to take physical food, without needing to terminate their life on earth to get to this higher level of consciousness that you're talking about. You can integrate your higher being, that aspect from the 5D into the 3D matter physicality, and live as a 5D person into the here and now moment on earth. That's right. Becoming available now on earth. And that's becoming available, and so many have experienced that on Earth now, because the planet has evolved. The frequency of Gaia is much higher than when Buddhism started.
Right.
And now that future, if you will, of this video game that we're in is available for us now. We no longer have to leave somewhere to be fully aware of our greatness, we can be fully aware and embodying our greatness here, which I call in my courses and classes and retreats, I call it embodied enlightenment.
Right.
We no longer become enlightened, we become embodied enlightened. We descend the light into our bodies.
Right. The definition of enlightenment is light within, enlightenment, the Christ consciousness within. And just recognizing and being more of that. Let's switch focus to the earth grid work that you do. Okay, so you go to different locations and you open up new energy portals. Can you explain what that process of opening up any energy portals within the grid of earth? What is that like?
Some are just there but not fully activated. Some are cluttered, some are if you will malfunctioning, like a chakra. You know, imagine the body of earth. It has a body just like ours. We're actually made of the same elements, the same structures as Gaia is, and we're so deeply interconnected with Gaia that basically everything that moves and breathes inside her body is affecting our bodies. So that's the first thing I want to say, connected to that. And Gaia, as a conscious being that she also has chakras. Some are primary and some are secondary in many energy channels or ley lines. And she has a circulation system just like ours, where fluids circulate, like the petrol and the waters and everything that we try to extract abusively. Now on Earth, is actually the body fluids of Gaia that should run through her to keep her alive and happy and healthy. And we do a great disservice to the planet and to ourselves, because our bodies are connected. Remember, us and Gaia are the same thing. We're made of the same elements. When something gets imbalanced in Gaia's body, our bodies are experiencing suffering and pain. We don't relate or correlate the two things. But the people who are trained with me, they know exactly when the storm is coming, when something has been affected in our energy area, when something is moving badly in our city or country, because they feel it in their bodies, right? So you're acutely aware of any inner movement in Gaia when you're in tune with everything, right? And her vortexes or chakras can also get blocked like ours. Mm-hmm. If somebody builds a construction in a certain place and start polluting the area, or if the people in the area are excessively having bad thoughts or emotions, or if they're doing bad things in that area, like organizing, I don't know, very sound polluting concerts that are really disturbing the beings in the forest, whatever it is that is disturbing the feng shui or the balance of that place is affecting Gaia's chakras. So an energy vortex that is initially meant to be supportive and enhancing for humankind and for Gaia can become very disturbing. And people in the area can get ill or have insomnias or have, you know, certain type of imbalances in their lives, in their relationships, because the vortex has been affected. So you see, it's a two-way street. People are affecting Gaia and Gaia's vortexes are affecting the people.
Right. So how do you find the ley line or the point where the vortex is? What do you do to find
guided,
it?
Completely intuitively intuitive. Guided to these places, completely. Like I'm completely blank of how a journey is gonna be, how much I'm gonna be in a certain place. Like even this week, I've prolonged my journey with 3 more days because I've been guided to go in places that I haven't planned to go because of my work, right?
Right.
So I'm intuitively guided. I'm feeling everything. Sometimes I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to go to this place. And then eventually I'm called not to go because I'm not supposed to be there at all. And intuitively doing my work, completely intuitively. Like I sit in that place. I tune into myself. I don't even look at the place. I don't even look at anything. I just tune into myself. And from that state, things open.
Right.
Things are, I'm seeing I'm literally seeing how energy is flowing or what's opening or what's happening in that place, right?
Right, right. So you guys, grid work, if you want to participate in the grid work, if you're not at that point where you're of 5D and higher consciousness quite yet, where you can intuitively go to the portal point and then open up the energy portal to kind of help raise the frequency on Earth. There is tools that you can do if you're not quite there yet. What you can do is get a dowsing rod, go into a forest or wherever you feel guided to, and then point it. And when you hit a grid point, it will spin. And then what you could do, and you can actually, when you do that in the woods or in the nature trails, oftentimes you'll see fairy rings or circles, mushrooms growing in circles, you'll see flowers growing in circles. You may even see the tree branches kind of move or grow in a circular kind of look. It looks like, yeah, because it's following the energy waves.
It has a harmony that is even personal. Yeah.
So if you're not quite on the point of intuitive and you want to participate in grid work, like I said, get the dowsing rod, go, and when it moves around like crazy and stuff, that is a portal point on the Earth grid, and you can see those symbols in nature to back up like, oh, I did find a portal point, and that is where it is. And then if you want to help open up that or raise that, or even get some energy healing or some insights from that portal point on Earth, just sit down and do any kind of modality of meditation. I gave earlier that 5-second technique to connect to Christ consciousness, and whatever you want to do with that, you can do that, sit there, and then that would automatically kind of help you get energized and also help the Earth with the portal points to open it up as well. So that's another way for people who want to do that and they're not quite in the intuitive space yet, but you can still do it, and that's another way to do that as well.
Yeah, I would add to that you know, we need caution. We need caution with these things because it's not something that anyone can do. What we advise is that if you aren't in that level of consciousness, actually don't start working with energy vortexes, like at all. Like, start fine-tuning yourself to a point where you detox your body, detox your mental and emotional systems. Don't go to vortexes if you're not in balance. Like, don't go
at all. Wouldn't it automatically detox and clean your aura field?
No. that's what people are doing, and they're getting like serious imbalances. And with experience, I've learned to filter, like literally, we filter people that aren't ready to go to specific vortexes, because what vortexes do is sometimes they're neutral. They just amplify what they find. So if they find an imbalance in you, they will like bring it out and amplify. So,
but is that a good thing? So wouldn't that be a good thing? Because then they can address their imbalance and the issues that come up.
I don't recommend that. It's too much for many. And I recommend the gentle, compassionate, kind, soft way. That's how I do my work. So when we train people to work with energy vortexes, we do first a cleanse. So for example, this summer, we have a 3-stage retreat. We start with the Pranic Festival in Romania, where people get the information and get some practice. And they also clear their energy bodies and their chakras, and they start eating lighter, and they quit some bad habits that alter their bodies. So that's for 4 days, right? So an energy upgrade of that is quite significant is happening during these 4 days, August 15 to 18. Then we take them to some energy vortexes, some that are not really, I mean, they're not affecting people. They're like encouraging the human development and human evolution. We're traveling through these vortexes and doing some more detox, some more energy practice, some more clearing, and for 3 days. And then the last retreat, that's August the 19th to 22nd. And in the last retreat, the detox and prana retreat goes to the most powerful energy vortexes. for another 3 days after people have gone through the initial detox, cleansing, upgrading of consciousness. We can work with people really quick to upgrade. Like, I have a process of 8 days online, people get completely transformed. Or the summer retreats, all three in a row, transform for 9 days, you're completely shifted back to back. But we don't go directly to the biggest vortexes or the most powerful with the people.
If you live underneath one, a lot of people live right underneath one.
Some are, and some get very imbalanced without knowing why. Exactly. And it's like with, it's like also with whatever you wish to refer to, like people do plant medicine right away without any detox, without anything. They just go right into it and they suffer like crazy and their lives get affected long-term, even if you don't see the connections between the cause and effect. We recommend the mild, supportive, step-by-step evolution, not the rushed one, because the rush comes out of ego. You rush into an energy void, you want to clear everything, do stuff. No, stay at home and purify. Take care of yourself, get your bodies into alignment, detox your physical body, because otherwise you might vomit or go to the bathroom like crazy. Even to an energy vortex, you know, I had people doing bathroom sessions, and then come and work with some vortexes under a guidance, not by yourself, because there's a lot of trickstery spirits out there that make you do stuff that is not beneficial for you and humanity, and you have to learn to filter out through those as well. So that's why it's best to have an expert with you that knows how to do stuff and to listen and do what you're basically guided.
Right. So
you can do some serious damage to yourself, to the vortex, and to humanity. And that's a big responsibility. You don't want to play with that. That's what I say.
Right. So you offer, so let's go into your courses, because you obviously offer some courses in grid work. So in your prana and tantra courses, you teach about the new DNA codes, the new chakras, and the new, we already talked a little bit about the light body relationship. Can you please explain these new DNA codes and these new chakras that you teach about?
Basically, since Earth is changing and the Earth grid is evolving, it's receiving so much light and so much new light codes, right? The Earth is evolving into the next dimension, basically. And everybody needs to align. If they want to stay on this planet, they need to align to this new energy coming in. You can no longer do the same thing, eat the same thing, think the same thing, cultivate the same emotion, and stay here and be happy. No, most people are suffering and are really in pain and in illness now because they haven't prepared for this stage, right? Mm-hmm. And they're experiencing this collective detox that we're calling a pandemic or whatever you want to call it. It's basically a collective purification that is happening. If you prepare your body, physical body, by detox and dropping the foods that are no longer serving you, that are making you bloated or sick, or just not, you're not your fuel anymore, you know, like animal products and stuff that are heavy. If you are preparing the emotional body, cultivating positive emotions and cleansing, literally cleansing your cellular memory and your emotional field, which is embodying emotions from parallel lifetimes as well as this lifetime, traumas and all that stuff. And if you clear your mental field, getting rid of the habitual patterns, thinking, negative judgments and all that, then you can embody these new types of energy coming in. Basically, we are not the same like we were 10 years ago, or even 5 years, or even 2 years ago.
Yeah, we're constantly getting new bodies.
We're building a crystalline body. Our body, scientifically proven, is changing from carbon to crystal. We're needing a different fuel. We're going to be a new structure in our physical form. We need to align to that. So for that, we're offering online processes. We're actually starting one on Friday for 8 days. We meet for 1 hour, 1 hour and a half. We do practice, we do meditation, all online. We give insights like the ones we're offering here, and we talk to people's questions so that they can upgrade their frequency. So for 8 days, it's a gradual frequency upgrade. We basically reprogram everything into their bodies, their minds, and their emotions so that they can tune into a higher frequency. This is called the Pranic Process Online. I've been teaching it since 2013. We do retreats that, you know, the detox and prana you just quoted, and then the prana in Tantra, and the Pranic Festival in Romania, and the trip of the sun that is going to the energy vortexes of Romania and India. We also do one in India. Mm-hmm. We're doing these retreats where we're basically going deeper into, you know, in person with people, and they're learning on site how it feels, how to be aligned, how to be in tune, how to feel everything around you and respond to it harmoniously, and how to, of course, detox and upgrade your frequency. And we're doing also one-on-one sessions where we go really deep, because that's only you and me and all the beings supporting us, talking to each other about specific issues that you want to resolve. So all these three options are available now. The online class, that is Pranic Process Online, the live retreats, and the one-on-one healing sessions or counseling.
You know, lots of fun there. So what can people, I'm going to kind of list some of the energy healing courses that you offer on your website. So people wanting to pick one to kind of start learning, what can people expect in the soul healing course?
Soul healing is the therapy I'm practicing, is the one-on-one sessions that I'm practicing. It's going to be followed by a course soon. Thanks for reminding me, where I'm going to actually start presenting this therapy for others to do it, but it's not ready yet.
Okay. Okay. So more to come, more to look forward to.
More to come, but the therapy one-on-one that is called soul healing is basically 1 hour, 1 hour and a half. It starts with a relaxation exercise or a guided meditation where we clear, align, and enhance or energize our fields in our body. Mm-hmm. During, at the beginning of the session, it can be 10 to 20 minutes into this relaxation or guided meditation exercise. That's the main or the core part of the healing session, because it's a lot of healing, it's a lot of prana circulating through your bodies, and it has a very powerful effect. And then we come out of that, we are in the alpha theta state, so we're in a higher state of consciousness, and we start discussing a specific issue that somebody wants to resolve, like say a relationship issue, or, you know, abundance, or career, or health, or family, you know, relationship with kids and all that stuff. We start discussing it, and we start from that. We do some deep reprogramming. We find the root cause of it, the root program or mindset that you have that's creating this pattern into your life. And we notice that it's rolling towards various lifetimes, actually, not just one. We notice in various lifetimes how it's played out, and then we deprogram it or destructure it or shift it into a new energy. And that's when people are starting to basically change their life completely. They can start to live a different life or different outcomes on the same topic.
Right. So that's the is that also the data healing course that you offer as well? Is that the same
that's
thing?
That's the soul healing. So basically, I'm offering the soul healing sessions. They have evolved from theta healing. I've been trained into the Think Institute, but they have evolved into something more deep, into something deeper. That has been, you know, I've been guided by the Christ consciousness to go deeper with this practice into something that's called soul healing. Right. Another class, if you want to see, there are all on my soulhealingacademy.com website, soulhealingacademy.com, at the events section. So that's where you find everything in terms of classes and conferences. And another one is the Pranic Process Online that we were talking about earlier, that we meet for 8 days 1 hour, 1 hour and a half each day. And we start, we do meditation, we give tools to lift your frequency, to have positive manifestation outcome in your life, and to move into higher, you know, basically a higher frequency, and stay tuned and connected to your higher self all the time. Not just glimpses of it, but all the time.
Right. And then you're right. That's online. So what about the Tao of Healing course? Can you explain the Tao of Healing course that you offer?
It's called the Taoist Emotional Intelligence. It's you are reading the list of the practices that I've learned. That's not the list of the courses that I'm offering that you're right.
Okay.
These are the classes that I've done, so that I've learned from the others.
Okay. So same thing with the light and sound therapy and the angel therapy.
Everything that you're reading there, all that stuff is things that I've went to and learned for myself. That's my practice.
Do you teach it as well, or?
Of course, I've included in my in all my classes, I've included the practices that I've done or the classes that I've studied. Because every year I myself upgrade myself. I do one or two or three courses where I'm the student. Basically, I'm learning from others.
Yeah.
But what you need to do is go on my website, soulhealingacademy.com, and look at the list of the events that I'm doing. And you can ask me about those. Because that's where the list is.
Yeah. I love learning new.
So
next class. Go ahead.
The next class. Yes, if you want to talk about the classes, the next class is the Prana and Tantra retreat, and the cultivating the body of light or the light body and new relationship codes. So cultivating the light body and new relationship codes is a class that offers in about 3 hours, it offers new downloads, new information, and new upgrade practices for you to embody this new energy that's coming now on the planet, and for you to be ready for it and embody it with joy and ease and grace instead of suffering.
Right.
So you don't always have to learn through suffering. That's not why you came here for. You can learn with joy and ease and grace if you choose to daily do activities that upgrade your body. And we're offering these activities and steps and practices, but it needs to be a constant practice, you know? And then there's the Pranic Festival in Romania in August, where we join together the Pranic people that we know, and they offer lectures and practices of their own for 4 days. Then we go in the trip of the sun to the energy vortexes of Romania, and we learn together how to work with them and how to upgrade ourselves and them. And then we do the detox and prana retreat at the end of August, where we, you know, basically integrate all these energies and evolve at a much deeper level.
Right. Christiana, let me ask you something. So when people are doing, they're taking these different courses and they're learning the energy healing and they're learning how to open vortexes within themselves on these ley line earth grid points and all these different things that they're learning, they are changing and raising their frequency, and they're changing their own frequency. So do you get students and people and yourself saying, after you do this work and continue to do this work as your new level of being, that they are in a completely different body, that the body that they have is slightly different, whereas the birthmarks that they had is completely gone, or a scar that they had is never there? Or even that their physical reality has changed in terms of elements in their reality no longer existing like it used to when they previously engaged with it. Do you get any of those kind of feedback from people?
Basically, people's body changed completely. First of all, because their nourishment is, their need for nourishment is completely different. So their birthmarks might not disappear, but their hunger disappears, and that's essential. You know, when you're no longer hungry, or where you're much less hungry than before, your whole perception of life and how you are supported and nourished is changing. And everything you relate to, the people around you, the finances, the food, everything, you relate from a different level. So that's the main change. That's the main change. Their life change because they become kinder and more relaxed, and they look at their previous outcomes in their lives with a better and deeper understanding. They're able to understand and integrate the abuses of their fathers, the coldness of their mothers, their, you know, colleagues being mean to them, or whatever trauma they had. They are seeing it through the eyes of compassion and through the eyes of a more evolved being. And that's completely enhancing their perception of life. When you had the perception of you being a victim of your whole life, and all of a sudden you notice that you've been a master that has created all these steps to evolve and integrate virtues, poof, your whole life is completely shifted. The way you look at your father that has beaten you your whole childhood is totally different. You can be in gratitude instead of being in hatred, or your mother who left you, or whoever, you know, shifts your life from that perspective. The body shape shifts all as well, because if you're not eating the same things and you're not holding the same emotions, of course your body, I'm looking younger than 10 years ago, and everybody that has been in touch with our classes is starting to look younger and more harmonious. Their body restructures, even if they don't do gym or anything, their body just restructures first because they don't have the same body weight or the same body deposits, right? And second, because they're becoming leaner and their structure becomes, you know, harmonious, and it's a different frequency of a body, you must understand. The body is no longer a 3D vehicle. It's becoming a 5D vehicle. It's totally different, right?
Right.
And yes, it can heal scars. It can, you can choose to work on a specific body area and make it bigger or rounder, or, you know, shift your nose shape or whatever. I was just talking to a scientist about it, you know, that he was literally shifting his nose. You can do that, but that's not mainly what I'm focusing. I'm focusing of people understanding that matter is energy and that everything is malleable. And from that, they can play with whatever body shape they want.
Right, right. So, Christiana, you're going to be speaking in this year's Higher Self Expo on July 17th through 18th is the expo. It's all online. So what can people expect to learn in your presentation?
My theme is free energy and breatharianism. Breatharianism being the ability to be nourished by energy. So all over the world, I've been organizing events and conferences together with, as a co-speaker, with people that are nourished in this way, that no longer need physical food as nourishment, or that they have evolved to a lighter or liquid food. And they are presenting their methods and their healing techniques and all this stuff. And from that perspective, I'm offering to the Higher Self Expo the concept of free energy in the human body. We don't only need vehicles and devices that are on free energy, because in short years, we're not going to have petrol to extract, and all these fluids that we're drawing in from Gaia is going to be finished. So we need free energy for our vehicles and devices. But the first step is to understand that we can have that in our physical body. So that's my topic at the Higher Self Expo. We talk to people about how this can be attained, or at least about how you can decrease your food intake to 50 or 80% less than you're eating now. How awesome would that be?
Right. I do love food, though. So, Christiana, do you have a last Christiana, do you have a... I know I do love food. I do love I love good food, but there is a balance. There is a balance. Remember, we came here to
be autonomous, autonomous and just take it because you like it and not because you need it. Is
right. Yeah. It's a different relationship. It's a different relationship. Remember, we came from source to experience what this is all about. So And food,
right on.
Enjoying some food is one of it. So there is some balance there. Let me ask you a last question. Do you have a last message for the builders of the fifth dimension Earth?
For the builders of the fifth dimension Earth?
Yeah. So what's the last message you want to leave people with?
Well, you know, the Earth is already in fifth dimension.
Oh, yeah. But not everybody is there, but...
The Earth is already in fifth dimension, mm-hmm. totally. And mm-hmm. it's time for us, for humans, to align with that. Mm-hmm. So the step is to work deeper, all of us, including myself, to work deeper with ourselves into purifying and upgrading ourselves for us to align with that frequency. And that's the only way we can build the fifth dimension on Earth, by building it within ourselves. There's right. no way out than in. So right. we need to dive there and do the stuff that we need to do individually for us to each be in this fifth dimension. And then the planet is like lifting off very easily.
Right. Well, Christiana, thank you for offering your lifetime work in sound and pranic healing, consciousness and metaphysics. So for more information about Christiana Atreyan's offerings and courses, both in person and online, go ahead and visit her website, which is soulhealingacademy.com. And of course, for more information about the 2021 Higher Self Expo, if you do end up missing it, you can still go and preview it after it's already done as well, just for people to know. But you can visit their website, which is higherselfexpo.com. And then thank you kindly again to our listeners for listening to another enlightening conversation. Until next time, blessings.
Blessings. And thanks for bringing this wonderful energy of Kuan Yin to us today, because you're totally into it. I can feel it.
Oh, that and so much more. So, but thank you so much. And have a great night, guys.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Merkaba Chakras, where we talk Buddhism in the fifth dimension. For more information about today's guest, please go to the show description. For more information about Vaughn's metaphysical work, please go to MerkabaChakras.com. The views expressed today are for entertainment purposes and do not necessarily reflect the views of the host or replace any medical or legal advice. Don't forget to subscribe for more interviews about the fifth dimension. Until we meet again, blessings.